Well, we've gathered together this day on Spring Fellowship 2017, and this brief devotional this afternoon is in many ways just a second part in addition to the message this morning. And so I trust that most of you, I think, were here this morning, so it'll make sense. And I only say this if you weren't in the service, maybe you were working in the back this morning or just weren't able to be here for whatever reason. The initial message is online, and this would hopefully make a little bit more sense. We begin with an introduction this morning, and I asked a very simple question. What is a person really like? And I suggested that one answer, I'm sure there's more than one answer, is to find out what that person enjoys doing. And so if we were to take that and apply that to God, and I would ask the question, what is God really like? Then it would seem to me that a valid answer would be simply, find out what God enjoys doing. And we have that. We have that in Luke chapter 15. We have that in these three incredible stories or parables that Jesus told. And they focus on joy. And we've talked about the shepherd, verses 6 and 7, rejoice with me. The woman we'll be considering this afternoon, verses 9 and 10, rejoice with me. And then the father and the son, verse 24, talks about they began to celebrate. So great was their joy. So the question is, what is it that brings God joy? And it's finding lost people. Or if I could say it differently, it's saving sinners. And we saw that this morning in the story of the lost sheep. This afternoon, we're going to consider Luke 15, primarily verses 8 through 10, even though we'll have to pick up some context. And we'll consider this briefer story of the lost coin. But that basically, again, teaches us the same thing. Three simple points. Even as we had this morning, I hope you're open to Luke chapter 15, and it begins in verse 8. Even though if we're going to understand the story, we have to once again understand the context. Okay, and let me just explain to you why this is so important, okay? What is this story about? All three, I believe most would say, have the same emphasis. Is this about Christians who wander and come back home? Well, the fact of the matter is Christians do wander and come back home, but that's not what this story is about. I know there's songs about that, but that's not what this story is about. And I understand we can get off track if we don't consider the context. So let's just one more time. I'll look at verses 1 through 3. It says, all the tax collectors and the sinners. So these are unclean Jews. These are the people that good Jews don't hang out with, okay? Moms and dads, you would tell your Jewish children, don't hang out with these people. They're bad men. All the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him, Jesus, to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble. That word means to complain, saying, this man receives sinners and he eats with them. And we reviewed this morning how the word receive actually means to welcome. It's the idea that Jesus says to these unclean people, I welcome you, eat with me, let's have a meal together. And this bothered the Pharisees and the scribes greatly. So that's the context. Jesus is answering his critics. And what does he do? Well, first, as we considered this morning, he tells a story about a lost sheep in verses 4 through 7. But notice the beginning of verse 8 in my translation. It begins with the word or. Jesus is saying, you know, just to make sure you get this, I'm going to tell you a second story. I'll begin reading at verse 8. This is the parable. We call it the parable of the lost coin. Or what woman, verse 8, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? So here's a woman, typical woman of that time. And she would have a very small home, not large homes like many of us have, not homes with windows in them as many of us have, but they would be very small homes with lower ceilings, frequently not even a window. And if you wanted to find something, you would have to light a lamp because it would just be a darker structure. It says here in verse 8 that she has 10 silver coins. This would be the drachma. And it's simply silver. It's many people suggest, and there's not exactly positive on this, But this would be a day's wage. Here's a woman with 10 coins. And you know, what do we want to do for a day's wage? Maybe some of you younger guys go out and work on the weekend. And if you could make $100 maybe pushing a lawnmower, cleaning up some brush or something. I'm going to think of these coins as a $100 bill. Here's a woman, and she has perhaps 10, in our language, $100 bills. And it says in verse 8, she loses one. Now, they're coins, but she loses one. And some think, well, maybe she had the 10 coins in a like an apron corner or linen napkin, and she would tie it up, and the knot came loose. That's possible. Some believe they would be worn in a necklace. And she would have these 10 coins that could even be something like an engagement ring. And that's also possible. Whatever it is, I'm just going to picture one of us having 10 $100 bills. And some of you might say, Greg, I don't normally carry that. Well, nor do I. But back then, they didn't have banks where you would just be able to put your money away, that type of thing. If I had 10 $100 bills, and all of a sudden I looked and I was down to 9, would I look for the 10th? I would. I'd be looking around, and maybe when I was counting, I dropped one. Maybe inside my wallet in the fold somewhere. That's what this woman does. So note the text, please, verse 8. What woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, a tenth of what she has, does not light a lamp? It's a dark house. To really see, I'm going to have to look carefully. Let's get some light. And sweep the house. Because even with that lamp, the light's not good. I'm going to just sweep everything together and try to find that coin. And search carefully. How long? Until she finds it. She doesn't stop. Now, again, I know we have many different people with many different financial backgrounds. I'm just going to speak from my background. If I'm confident I have 10 $100 bills and I do a quick count and there's 9, I don't go, oh, well, I lost one. I'm going to put a little more effort in it than that, because that's $100 bills. And to me, that's a fair amount of money. For this woman, that silver coin's a lot of money. And many people suggest this is perhaps the key difference between this story and the story we considered earlier. That does the shepherd go out and look for the lost sheep? Yes. But there seems to be even more of an emphasis. That here's a woman so careful that she lights the lamp, sweeps the house, and searches carefully until she finds it. And she will not stop until she finds that coin. And of course, she finds it, verse 9. It says, when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost. Not only is she filled with joy, but she wants to share her joy with her friends, and we're back to another party. We've talked about that. You have your birthday parties and your graduation parties and, you know, your engagement parties and all different kinds of parties. People love to get together and celebrate, and that's what this woman is doing because she's so filled with joy. The application, especially after the morning message, I'm sure is obvious. What does Jesus say in verse 10? In the same way, just like this woman is so filled with joy and she calls her friends and they rejoice, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. You know, people sometimes make the point, and I think it's a fine point to make, verse 7. In the first story, there's more joy in heaven, and heaven is filled with joy. In verse 10, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God. So it has to be, it would seem, more than that the angels are rejoicing. And many people point out that this is how we know that one of the people rejoicing is our God. What is God like? He enjoys certain things. What does our Lord enjoy? He enjoys finding the lost. He enjoys saving sinners like us. And whether we picture ourselves as a lost sheep or a lost coin, No coin can find itself. No sheep can make it back home. Now, I know that you've all maybe seen movies. When our kids were little, we used to watch a movie that was about, remember Two Dogs and a Cat? What was the name of it? Homeward Bound. Did you know Homeward Bound, right? And the best I know, the dog, we called it Two Dogs and a Cat. And the idea that a dog was far away and he went very far and found his way home, right? Sheep don't do that. Sheep are stupid. It's interesting, you know, Jesus doesn't talk about finding a lost dog, but Jesus talks about finding a lost sheep or a coin. The point being, a sheep can't find its way back home, as I understand it. And there's no way a coin can find its way back. It's a coin. But God is a God who delights in saving sinners. And he searches, what, for the coin. And he lights the lamp, and he sweeps the floor, and he won't stop. And then once again, let me make the point. When the woman finds the coin, what does she say? Finally, I found the stupid coin. Now I can relax. That's not what she says. She is so filled with joy. That's the illustration. Jesus is making a point that what? Jesus is making it very clear, our application, that God enjoys saving sinners. And we know that because the scripture makes that so clear. I read yet again in Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He not only does it, which is incredible, but he enjoys doing it. On the way out to lunch, one of the brothers here from the church said, you know, Greg, I appreciated the message, and I think about that. Why would God save somebody like me? And I think I know there is an answer. And I said, well, what would your answer be? He said something like, it's pure love. It's that God loves us. That's the only reason he would do this and enjoy it. And I said, amen. And what I really appreciated is the brother said, and I'm talking about real love, not the kind of love that people talk about in the world today. And that even made me say louder, amen. Because that is the answer. There's no reason for God to do this, except he chooses to. He not only saves us, but he takes great joy in saving us. That's God. I don't know what you think of when you think of God, but I think of someone who looks at me, a lost sheep or a lost coin, and he not only pursues me until he conquers me and then saves me, he actually takes great joy in it. And then you ask me, hey, Greg, so what do you think God is like? And I just say, he's incredible. He's absolutely incredible that he would not only save me, but that he would enjoy doing it. I told you this would be a brief message, so we're already to the application. Okay, hang in there, and we'll wrap up in just a moment. I didn't know how to phrase this, so I hope this is helpful. I want to just think about this a little bit with you. Are you a godly person? Are you a godly person? And you might say, well, Greg, you know, I'm not the kind of guy or girl that goes out and commits adultery. That's good. I don't beat up my spouse. I don't abuse my kids. I lend things to my neighbors, you know. Question, are you a godly person? You say, well, I don't go to bars and get in fights. I don't do illicit drugs on the weekend. I mean, that's what wicked people do. I don't do those things. Question, are you a godly person? And a lot of us, we've maybe been exposed to teaching that, well, I guess I am because I'm not doing really, really bad stuff. So doesn't that make me godly? Well, let me be cautious. It's good not to do bad stuff if the goal is to bring honor to Jesus Christ. Let me ask this question slightly differently. Maybe this will be more helpful. In this story, these two stories, the lost sheep and the lost coin, find yourself. Who are you like? Meaning, are you more like the Pharisees or are you more like Jesus? Which of those two people/groups would you identify with? You say, how would you know? Well, just think about the story. How do you view lost people? How do you view overtly wicked people? Those are sinners. How do you view people that hate our country? And they seem to actually love other countries better than ours, and they're our own politicians. How do you view people like that? You say, why don't they just go somewhere else if they don't? Yeah, that's what the Pharisees were like. That's not godly. Because that's not Jesus. You know how Jesus viewed lost people? He welcomed them. He ate with them. It was the Pharisees that had a problem with them. Okay? I don't think Jesus, to be frank, would be welcome on a whole lot of talk radio. Jesus is a person who, when he sees lost people, people that are doing incredibly wicked things, he's burdened for them. And he wants to spend time with them. And of course, not to sin with them. Obviously, he's Jesus. But he has a heart for them. I mean, how would you view lost people who came into our assembly? You know, from time to time, I think it's good to think it through. How would you view, let's say, a couple that came to visit that were together but not married? How would you view them? Let's make them the same gender. How would you view a lesbian couple or a homosexual couple that walked into our assembly? And if you said, well, Greg, what do you mean? I would view them just like anybody else, somebody who needs Jesus. I would introduce them to my wife and sit with them. You know what? I think you're a godly person. Because that's what Jesus would do. Or if you say, I don't even believe this, man. Like, they're homosexuals and they don't have enough respect not to come into our church. And now my kids are going to see it? I mean, now my kids are going to see it? Yeah, that would qualify you're a Pharisee. Or at least you would be similar to the Pharisees. Because that's what they did. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus is a kind of person that he's with sinners and publicans. And he finds it a joyful thing to build a relationship and to talk about the gospel. And hopefully to find what? A lost coin or a lost sheep. See, if I'm going to ask, am I a godly person? I have to ask, how do I view lost people? Maybe a second question. Secondly, am I a godly person or am I more like the Pharisees or Jesus? Second question, what do you enjoy? What do you really, really enjoy in life? Now, I want to be careful. It is not a Christian thing to be ascetic. It is not wrong to have fun. And the Bible makes it very clear that God gives us good things to enjoy. And it's appropriate to enjoy them and be thankful. I'm actually excited about this afternoon because my daughter and son-in-law are leaving, okay? But they're leaving someone with us, okay? And so, Lord willing, my wife and I are going to spend this afternoon with a very short person that we enjoy very much, our grandson. And I'm already thinking, we're going to play outside maybe, you know? Maybe get a ball and we'll kick it around. I got one good foot, right? And we could maybe go for a walk and have a little bit of fun. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, I enjoy family. I enjoy going for a hike. I enjoy a good basketball game. You know I like sports. Many of us enjoy listening to music. That's appropriate. I am not suggesting you're ungodly if you say any of that. But it can't stop there. Because being godly is enjoying what Jesus enjoyed. Do you know what Jesus enjoys? He enjoys saving lost people. Which means if my wife and I take our little grandson through the neighborhood in a stroller, and I'm so enjoying being with him, which I hope I will, and I'm looking at neighbors that are out, and I'm not thinking about them at all. I'm not even thinking about, could I like say hi to them and build a little bit of a relationship? Those I know a little bit, could I get to know them better? Because maybe I could somehow, even if not now, even if not today, somehow I can transition to the gospel. If I'm not even thinking about that, I'm not a godly person. And we tend to think, well, Greg, you must be godly because you're not cussing, right? You're not walking around with the beer in your hand. Right? You're not sitting there, you know, using illicit drugs. But that's not what we're learning from this text. See, godly people are like Jesus, and Jesus enjoys finding lost people and saving them. So my question for all of us is this. Would you enjoy any of these things? And remember, it's okay to enjoy family and friends and music and sports and hiking and all those wonderful things. But would you maybe enjoy going to a nursing home ministry? Playing the piano? Leading singing? Or even opening up the Bible and bringing a devotional? Do you know we have a couple of different nursing home ministries that are taking place, and we're down on workers in both of them? And I just wonder, and you say, Greg, I didn't know that. You know, if you would just email the church office, if you wanted to, put your name on a piece of paper and hand it to an usher interested in helping at nursing home ministry, just put your name, contact information, put it in the plate, get it to an usher, email it in, whatever. We will give you information. And you say, but nursing home ministry is not my thing. That's okay. It doesn't have to be. Would you enjoy being involved in door-to-door evangelism? We have a brother who consistently goes door-to-door. He has a partner, and his partner's leaving town. He's looking for another partner. And if you were to say, Greg, I want to do this, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not good at it. I get nervous. This brother will actually train you. And he'll help you. Now, you don't have to be in to door-to-door evangelism. But maybe you would enjoy nursing home ministry or door-to-door evangelism. How about this? Would you enjoy Thursday night basketball outreach? Where we have guys who come together every Thursday night to play basketball, and at halftime or the break, there's a gospel presentation. And the whole goal of Thursday night basketball has nothing to do with basketball. Basketball is just a vehicle to do what? To do what Jesus enjoys doing, which is sharing the gospel. You say, okay, keep going. Give me something else. Would you enjoy coming out Saturday, May 27th? We're going to go through subdivisions in our area and put door hangers on doorknobs. You don't even have to talk to anyone, because I realize that's challenging for some. I understand that completely. All we're going to do is hang information on doorknobs. And we're going to do that Saturday, May 27th. We're going to come here, Lord willing, at 9:30 in the morning, just for 2 hours. And we'll go out from 10 to noon putting door hangers up. You say, well, what will be on the door hangers? One side will be giving information on our community fun day. It's going to be Saturday, June 3rd, from 11 to 2 p.m. And people will look and they'll see, hey, I could come out and maybe have some fun. Would you help us with Community Fun Day? We're going to do like we did a couple years ago. Some of you remember, we're going to have blow-up things for the kids, you know, like bouncy toys or whatever, and maybe a bouncy sliding board or whatever, or something like that. And last time we had a dunk the dolly tank, you know, where you throw the softball and hit the little round thing and the guy goes in the water. And I think we're going to have a hot dog item set up and a snow cone item set up. And we're going to have a little bit of music going on where we're going to invite people onto our property. There'll be a chance they could get the car washed for free while they're doing this. And the idea is really twofold. Number one, we want to put gospel literature in their hands. And so everybody who comes will get some kind of pamphlet, Gospel of John or whatever. We'll put packets together, Lord willing. At the same time, we want people there just to, we need you there. just to greet. If you're not working, just to greet. Just to say, hey, nice to meet you. My name's Greg. What's your name? Hey, thanks for coming. Are these yours, these children? Wow, are those great-looking snow cones. We hope you enjoy them. That looks like so much fun. And are you from this area? And some of them will go, no, and they'll walk away. That's okay. Because maybe the next one will say, yeah, I'm from this area. And you'll say, really? How long have you been down here? And then a conversation will begin. And you might just have an opportunity to say, do you have a home church? Do you know that you'd be welcome here if you ever wanted to visit? However the conversation goes. And you might not even talk about the gospel per se, but at least that person will know there's a place where one day if life gets hard, they might maybe would come and find kind people. And you could be part of that. See, Jesus enjoyed sharing the gospel with people. Even if that's as far as it went, would you enjoy that? On the other side of the hangar is going to be Vacation Bible School. And so June 12th through June 16th, every night, Lord willing, Monday through Friday, 6:15, we're going to have Vacation Bible Schools at church. Would you enjoy helping us with that so that young children could hear about Jesus, so that they could hear the gospel? You say, Greg, life is busy. I know it's busy. You say, it's really hard. Oh, I know you can't do all these things. But would you enjoy maybe doing one of them or two of them? You say, I can't really do anything except maybe come to church. Did you see your bulletin this weekend? We have an insert for our Easter cantata. It's on April 16th, our morning service. We're going to have a special Easter cantata. And when it's over, our ushers at the door are going to have something different than the usual visitor packet. They're going to have a visitor packet that has a gospel according to John in a bridge tract in it. And it's special. We're so glad you would come and worship with us on this day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And maybe you would be able to invite an unsafe friend so that that unsafe friend could hear the gospel. Jesus would enjoy that. If I'm a godly person, this is the kind of thing I would enjoy. And let's be completely honest, because I understand this. There are people in this room, and please don't, I don't say this to make you feel bad in the least. Honestly, I'm just saying, honestly, I understand it. There are some people in this room who say, Greg, I don't think I could invite an unsafe friend to the Easter cantata because I don't have any unsafe friends. Okay. I'm just making the point Jesus did. Godly people have unsafe friends. Godly people realize that we are in this world to build relationships with unsaved people so we can share the gospel. And yes, we need Christian friends. And we need to keep encouraging each other to keep following Christ. And I'm not taking away from that. But that's not what it means to be godly, period. If I don't have unsaved friends, then I'm not like Jesus. See, would you enjoy any of these things? I'm reading Luke 15, and I'm reading a story about a lost sheep and about a lost coin. And it's helping me to better understand something, that the way to really know a person is to find out what he enjoys doing. And I'm starting to understand better that God enjoys saving people. He enjoys reaching out with the gospel. And if I'm not involved in that in some way, I'm not a godly person. I may have not have cussed for a very long time, or had a drink of alcohol for a very long time, or used an illicit drug for a very long time. But if I'm not enjoying what God enjoys to at least some degree, then I would have to be honest and say, Lord, I'm not a godly person. And yet I don't want to leave it there. I would say, Lord, would you please forgive me? And would you please help me? Because either I got off track somewhere, or maybe I never got on track. But one thing I know, and Jesus made it very clear, that God enjoys saving sinners. The shepherd enjoyed saving that one lost sheep. The woman was so filled with joy when she found that lost coin. And God enjoyed saving you. And to the degree that I want to be like Jesus Christ, that's the kind of person I want to be. And my hope is, by God's grace, Trinity would be a church that is filled with people that truly want to be godly people. Let's pray.